In this Mentoring Moments episode of Project I Am, I'm going to talk about the evolving landscape of telehealth therapy. Counseling through a screen. Does it really work? Can we actually build authentic connection this way? Why does it feel so different, and can we do it effectively? Can we create a digital therapeutic alliance with clients? And do clients actually benefit from therapy like this? So grab your coffee or your green tea or your running shoes and let's dive straight in.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Please note that while I am a mental health professional and educator, this podcast and the information shared within it are intended solely for information, education, and entertainment purposes. The content discussed does not constitute therapy, counseling, or any form of professional mental health services. It should not be used as a substitute for therapy or personalized mental health treatment. If you are in need of support, please consult with a licensed therapist or appropriate healthcare professional. Welcome back to Project I Am, a podcast where we explore the deep intersections of personal development, mental health, and therapeutic wisdom. I'm your host, Dr. David Schloss, and this is another interesting edition of Mentoring Moments, crafted specifically for counseling students, interns, and early career therapists finding their feet in this incredibly rewarding field. Today, we're talking about something that a decade ago was on the fringe of the mental health profession, but is now central to it, and that is telehealth, counseling through a screen. We'll explore the research on its effectiveness, how to do it well, how to manage screen fatigue, build a strong therapeutic alliance digitally, and share a few client stories that remind us of one central truth. Healing is possible, even through pixels and sound waves. So let's begin with the elephant in the room. Does telehealth actually work? Well, the answer, according to a growing body of research, is a resounding yes. A landmark meta-analysis published in Journal of Affective Disorders in 2023 compared over 90 studies examining the efficacy of telehealth therapy for conditions like depression, anxiety, PTSD, and general distress. The researchers found that video-based psychotherapy was just as effective as in-person therapy, particularly for mood and anxiety disorders, and you can find this if you research Boucher et al. 2023. During the COVID-19 pandemic, when telehealth became a necessity, client satisfaction actually increased in many settings. A study out of the University of Washington in 2022 reported that 76% of clients who switched to video sessions during the pandemic wanted to continue with that format post-COVID, Simpson and Reed 2022. And why? Well, because convenience, lower anxiety associated with commuting, and the comfort of being in one's own home. And let's be honest, guys, as we think about it, think about any of us that offer therapy only from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. What kind of clients do we attract? For anybody to have therapy during office hours requires that they work a particular kind of job where they have freedom of movement and autonomy. I think about myself going to therapy a few years ago. It was a 45-minute drive to my therapist's office, an hour session, and a 45-minute drive back. That's 2.5 hours in an afternoon. You know, if I'm working an hourly wage job, that's a convenience and that's a privilege that I really don't have. Also, I think we need to distinguish between the satisfaction that clients feel with video-based psychotherapy and our comfort level and preference for in-person versus video. We might not feel as adept or as comfortable as at offering psychotherapy online as what we do in person. But just because your comfort level may not be the same, doesn't mean that you're any less effective. Also, it's not just about convenience, it's about outcomes. The American Psychological Association reported in 2023 that dropout rates for online CBT were lower than in some in-person formats. Now, that's not to say that it's perfect or that it works for everyone. Some clients, especially those with severe dissociation or certain personality disorders, may struggle more with digital medium. But the overwhelming data suggests that when done right, telehealth can be just as healing, connective, and transformative as face-to-face therapy. Okay, but I hear a lot of people say, but I can't feel the energy. And I'll be honest with you, when I first started doing online sessions, I had my doubts. I am a therapist who's deeply attuned to energy, body posture, the atmosphere in the room, the micro expressions that float across the client's face. And I like to see the foot tapping under the couch, the twisting of the ring, or the way someone sits when they're carrying shame. This is true. And I remember one particular client, we will call her Angie, who had never done therapy before. We started over Zoom. She was in her bedroom and I was in my home office. And there was this awkward silence at the start. I felt distant. I felt a bit disconnected. But around session 3, something shifted. She said that she felt safer here than she thinks she would be if she was in an office. She responded by saying that she can cry in her own bed, and that helps. Now, for me, this was a powerful reminder. Therapeutic presence is not bound by geography. It's bound by intention, attention, and emotional attunement. So, how do we do telehealth well? Let's shift into some practical steps. If you're just starting out in telehealth, there are some essential guidelines for doing it well. 1. Therapeutic environment matters, both yours and theirs. As the therapist, make sure that your background is calm, uncluttered, and not distracting. Avoid busy bookshelves or glaring lights. Try use neutral tones and soft lighting. Encourage your clients to do the same. One client I worked with used to log in from a noisy coffee shop, headphones in, latte on the table. I'm sure she felt slightly comfortable, maybe even quite comfortable. But eventually, I gently explored how the environment she was in might be limiting her vulnerability and her disclosure. When she moved to a quiet room at her home, our sessions actually deepened. 2, use the technology to enhance connection. There are things we can do that can really help. Look into the camera, nod at yourself, or even your client's eyes on the screen. It may feel unnatural, but it can create this feeling that you're looking directly at them. Use body language. Use nods. Use hand gestures and vocal affirmations. These things, they become more important when physical presence is limited. Also, get comfortable with tech troubleshooting. Have a backup plan. Have phone numbers, have a secondary platform. Let your clients know what you're going to do if you suddenly lose connectivity. 3. Set expectations and normalize awkwardness. Normalize the occasional glitch, the occasional poor internet connection. Use humor if a pet jumps into your frame or your Wi-Fi hiccups. That humanizes you. And always explain what you're doing. If you're taking notes, say, I'm just jotting that down. Silence can feel different online, so narrate the process when needed. Also, switch on Do Not Disturb and minimize any distractions. I had this horrible and awkward session once where my son had texted me during a client session and it popped up on my screen. My eyes immediately shifted to the message on screen because it was from my son and I was concerned that something was wrong. My client immediately noticed and asked me what was going on because I seemed distracted. I felt so embarrassed because they were right. I was distracted. And I owned it. I immediately said that my son had texted me and that I was concerned it was an emergency, but it wasn't. And I apologized for my disconnection. And I closed the texts and said that it wouldn't happen again because they deserved my full attention. It was embarrassing, it was awkward, but it was a good reminder for me to close down any screens that might be open on my 2 or 3 monitors that were available so that I didn't get distracted. 4, create transitions into and out of sessions. Online sessions lack the natural transitions of arriving and leaving a physical space. So help your clients prepare a ritual. Maybe light a candle before the session or take a walk afterwards. Encourage them to close the laptop slowly and sit with material before jumping into emails or dinner. What I mean by that is encourage them to sit and reflect on the session, maybe journal for a few minutes at the end of the session. That way, they're not jumping immediately from their time with you into being busy and occupying their mind, thus robbing them of time to reflect. Also, number 5, pay attention to your energy and screen fatigue. Digital empathy is real, and it's draining. The constant eye contact, the cognitive load of picking up nonverbal cues through a screen, it's hard work, and it can be exhausting. So build in a buffer time between sessions. Stand up, stretch, and breathe. Until my supervisor sees this, you can't pour warmth into a cold screen if you yourself are running on empty. I think this is particularly important because oftentimes what happens in online sessions is we move from client to client, unlike in person where we walk them to the door, where we maybe jot a few notes in between sessions, where we stretch and use the bathroom before we go to the door and invite the next client in. That little gap of movement in between is really important. And sometimes when you see clients online, well, we get busy and we don't stand up in between sessions. We don't go outside and feel the sunlight. We don't use the bathroom. And so build things in intentionally that can help you transition well. Moving on, let's come back to the science and look at the research on building alliance online. A 2022 study published in Psychotherapy found that the therapeutic alliance formed in telehealth sessions is not significantly better from in-person therapy, provided that the therapist is intentional and responsive. This is from Norwood et al. 2022. So what predicts a good alliance? 3 things. Clear communication, emotional availability, and interestingly enough, number 3, the client's sense of agency. Clients who feel that they have control over the format, the time, and structure of sessions tend to feel more empowered, which deepens trust. One of my students recently shared how they started every virtual session by saying, "How would you like for us to use our time today?" This was beautiful because it sets the tone of collaboration, and studies confirm that this approach enhances alliance, especially in virtual therapy. What you're saying when you say this, "How would you like for us to use our time together today?" What it does is it keeps the client in the position of expert over their own life. It dismantles the power differential and you having any type of agenda yourself, and allows the client to set the agenda for therapy. I want to share a few more stories, because theory without heart is just cold data. A 17-year-old trans youth that I counseled could only access therapy because of telehealth. Their family lived in a rural area with no affirming providers nearby. Well, telehealth made that lifeline possible. And I think we ought to remember this, that there are a lot of people who don't have time, to set aside 3 hours to attend therapy. And so a 60-minute online session is the easiest thing that they can do. Also, they might live in a rural area where accessing a therapist is difficult. Telehealth makes this access possible. I also had an older client. She was an older woman who was grieving the loss of her husband, and she initially resisted online therapy. But once she got going, she loved it. And she mentioned things like not having to worry about parking or putting on makeup. She laughed and said she could just show up, tears and all. And then there's another young man I was working with, a young father juggling working and parenting. Our sessions happened during his lunch breaks, in his parked car. Sometimes he had his toddler present, babbling in the background. That wasn't always the best thing. I didn't always enjoy that. But man, it was the best that he could do. And our therapy wasn't quite clean or quiet, but it was real, and it gave him access. Now, I'm one of the first people to say that I don't like it when clients do therapy from their car, but for some people, it's the best they can do, and that is better than nothing. Telehealth meets people where they are, literally where they are, and that's what therapy is meant to do. Now, let's talk to you, the counseling student or recent graduate or counselor. If you're nervous about starting virtual sessions, that's normal. But remember this, therapy is not about perfection. It's about presence. So practice your tech tools. Set up mock sessions with peers. Record yourself and watch your body language. Observe how you speak, where you look, and how you hold space digitally, and then ask for feedback. And reflect. What parts of you feel blocked through the screen? What are you afraid of missing? What do you need to amplify so that that warmth that you have comes across? Your warmth doesn't diminish because it's coming through a webcam. If anything, the screen invites you to magnify your presence, to be more mindful, more intentional, and more attuned. So, final thoughts. The truth is, guys, that telehealth is here to stay. It's not a stopgap. It's not going anywhere. It is a new frontier. And as you grow into this work, remember this quote from Carl Rogers. The curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. In the same way, when you accept the screen for what it is, not a limitation, but a bridge, transformation still happens. So whether you're sitting across from a client in a cozy office or looking into the lens of a laptop, you are the same therapist and healing is still possible. That's it for today. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Project I Am Mentoring Moments. If you found today's conversation helpful, consider sharing it with a fellow student or colleague. And remember, no matter the format, your presence matters. The world needs what only you can offer. Until next time, stay grounded, stay present, and keep doing the sacred work of healing. May you be well.
Weather today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're gonna love it.